Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let us all unite our hearts together before the Lord in prayer to seek His blessing upon our service this afternoon and the reading and the preaching of His word. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, and our Father, we thank Thee that we can enter in beyond the veil in the precious name of the only begotten Son of God, the One who is seated at the Father's right hand. The One who came into this world and lived that sinless, spotless life, and yet bore our sins in His own body upon the cross, died there the just for the unjust, that we might be reconciled unto God. But our Father, we thank Thee that Christ not only died, but He rose again, triumphantly o'er the grave, and He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. And then He rose again, up into glory. He ascended from the Mount of Olives, and He is now seated at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. And our Father, we come to Thee in Jesus' name, thankful that we are accepted in the Beloved. And Lord, we rejoice that we have a God in heaven, the great Creator and the Sustainer of all things. Father, we thank Thee that there is none like Thee in heaven above or in the earth beneath, or even in the waters underneath the earth. Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none other. We thank Thee for Thy word, for the inspired, infallible, for the inerrant word of the living God. We thank Thee that it is our rule of life. And therein, Lord, we thank Thee Lord, that we find Christ. And Lord, we find the way of salvation. And O God, even as we turn in a little moment to the testimony of the psalmist David, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art still able to lift the whosoever will out of the miry pit of sin. And our God, we pray for this service, Lord, that Thou would speak, Lord, to each one. And O God, that each one would make their calling and election sure. And Lord, if there be one listening today, we pray, O God, that if they're not saved, Lord, that Thou would speak to their hearts. Lord, if they're backslidden, if they've grown cold, if they are like the church of Laodicea in the book of the Revelation, Lord, if they're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, O God, we pray that even today, Lord, that Thou would speak to their hearts. Lord, we think of that text of Scripture today. If Thou hear His voice, harden not your heart. O God, we pray that even this day, Lord, in this message, Lord, that Thou would be pleased to speak and to draw men and women and boys and girls unto Thyself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And for His glory we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Psalm 40, commencing at the verse 1, reading through to the end of verse 5. The psalmist David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to us ward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We'll end our reading there, trusting that God would bless the reading of His word to each of our hearts for His own precious name's sake. We're going to sing the hymn, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. We're turning back to that portion of scripture that we read just a moment ago, found in Psalm 40, Psalm 40. And we're going to center our thoughts tonight on the testimony of David. In Psalm 40, we have what we might call the psalmist David's testimony. And in it, he tells us where he was and how the Lord saved him. He also tells us what the Lord has done for him. In the verses 2 to 4, the psalmist David writes, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." In the verse 2, David tells us that he was in a horrible pit. At that time, he was in the horrible pit of sin. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, he was, I believe, in a backslidden condition. And he was in this horrible pit of sin with all its conscientiousness and its terrors and its condemnation before he was restored, as we read in Psalm 51. And also in verse 2, he tells us how he got out of that terrible pit. He tells us how he was rescued and how he was delivered from his bondage and from his sin and from his guilt. He says, "He brought me up." It was Christ. That's who he was referring to. When he speaks of he, it was Christ who delivered him. He didn't get out of that awful pit of sin himself. Rather, it was God, it was the Lord that reached down and lifted him up. It was the Lord who rescued him. And in verse 3, the psalmist David tells us what the Lord has done for him. He says, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." The Lord changed not only his circumstances, for he brought him out of the pit. The Lord also changed his heart when he rescued him. And he made him a new man. When the Lord rescued him and delivered him, he made him a new man. He made him a better man. And he made him a happier man. Now I wonder, do you have a testimony like David has? Have you ever cried unto the Lord from that horrible pit of sin and asked the Lord to save you, to rescue you as he rescued David? Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive your sin and to save your soul? In verse 1, David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." I wonder, have you ever cried out from that horrible pit of sin, cried out unto God? Have you ever called upon him and asked him to cleanse your soul, to redeem you and to save you? Have you a testimony like David the psalmist? But I want us to look at this psalm and I want us to notice the salvation that the Lord worked. The Lord worked for David. That's the first thing that we see, is the wonderful salvation. In verse 2, David says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." What a conversion. What a change took place in the life of David. You know, sin is a horrible pit. Once you're in it, and once the pleasures of sin have spent their season, and the pleasures of sin have passed away, and left you down there in that pit, it's a horrible place. You look around you, and there seems to be no way out. There seems to be no escape when sin has got a hold of you. It seems that that's the end, that there's no escape. You look up, and the entrance of the pit is way beyond human reach. Too far to allow you to escape by your own efforts. You can't reach it. And you know of yourself, you can't escape, you can't get out. And down there in the pit of sin, everything seems hopeless and helpless. You're confined there, you're stuck there in the miry clay of sin. And there seems to be no escape. There's no way out. And you're left there, as it were, to wallow in the mire of sin. One must surely feel, as they lay there in their sin, the weight of the condemnation, which is death and hell. They must find that burden lying heavily upon them. In Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the end result. That's what sin leaves behind. A ruined life and a lost soul. In John 3 verse 18, John says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." But let me say this to those who may be in that pit of sin. There is hope. Whenever you feel that everything is hopeless and helpless, there is hope, and there is one who can help. There is one who can reach down. There's one who can save you. There is one who can lift you up. He can take you out of sin's misery. He can take you out of the miry clay, and he can set your feet upon the rock. That's what he did for David. And that's what he can do for you as well. It doesn't matter how far down you are. He can lift you up. He can cleanse you. He can wash you. And he can put your feet upon the rock. But I want to say this. The Lord's the only one who can. You can't do it. Man cannot do it. But the Lord can do it. There is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. There's salvation for the sinner. Noel Indian Chief used to talk continually about the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and what the Lord meant to him. A friend asked him one day, "Why do you talk so much about the Lord Jesus?" And the old chief, he made no reply. But slowly and deliberately, he gathered some sticks and bits of grass together. And with them, he made a circle, and in the middle of a circle, he placed a little caterpillar. And then, without speaking a word, that old Indian chief, he lit that circle of grass and sticks. And as the circle burned, they watched the trapped caterpillar. Very quickly it began to go around the circle looking for a way of escape. But then, as the fire began to close in upon the caterpillar, it lifted its head as high as it could. And if it could have spoken, it would have cried out, "Someone please help me. Someone help me. I'm condemned. My help can only come from above." And the old Indian chief, he stooped down and he reached out his hand and his finger to the little caterpillar. And the caterpillar crawled up the Indian chief's finger and into his hand. And then the old Indian chief, he spoke and said, "That is what the Lord has done for me. I was lost in sin and condemned. My condition was hopeless. I was trapped and ensnared." And then the Lord reached down his hand from above, his hand of mercy and his hand of salvation. And I took his hand and he lifted me out of the pit of sin and out of the miry clay. He lifted me out of my condemnation and he has rescued me. He has saved me. And he has set me free. Oh, if you're not saved, you're condemned already, the scripture teaches us. But all's not lost. There is still hope for you. Take that nail-pierced hand of Christ. He can lift you out of the condemnation of your sin. But we notice, secondly, the transformation that the Lord wrought. David says in verse 3, "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." You know, sin robs a man of any real and lasting joy and pleasure that he ever had. And there are some shallow pleasures in sin. We have to say that. There is some shallow pleasures in sin for a season and for a little while, maybe longer. In Hebrews 11 and the verse 25, Paul the Apostle, speaking about Moses, says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he went into the far country and he left the father's house behind. And there in the far country, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a while. He spent all that he had on riotous living and harlots, the elder brother said. And for a while, the prodigal son, he enjoyed the shallow and the temporal pleasures of sin. But when they were over, when they were finished, he ended up with the swine trough, and he hated the swine trough where his sin had led him. And he hated it as he lay languishing there, looking at the husks that the swine did eat, desiring to fill his belly with them. He hated the sin that brought him there. Even David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, for a while followed the ways of sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. And when he followed the pathway of sin, he lost his joy. And he lost his happiness and he lost his peace. For in the Psalm 51 in the verse 12, he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I will say this, that although there may be some temporal shallow pleasures in sin, there are no lasting pleasures. And there's no eternal pleasures in sin. But there is in Christ. The hymn writer said, "There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee." When we are saved, the Lord gives us a new heart. And He gives us a new life. And He gives us a better life. And He gives us a better heart. And He gives us a new song. Even praise unto our God as He gave to the psalmist David. The song of the soul set free. There was a group of atheists one time and they were gathered round. They were criticizing the scriptures. And one of them spoke about creation saying, "How could any man with any common sense believe that several thousand years ago God stooped down and picked up a handful of dust and breathed into it and changed it into a human being? How could anybody with any common sense ever believe such a thing?" But there was a Christian man there who was standing close by and he overheard the conversation and the criticism. And he answered the atheist saying, he says, "I'm sorry, I cannot answer all your questions about creation. But this one thing I do know. One night God stooped down and he picked up the dirtiest piece of mud in this city. And he breathed upon it by his Holy Spirit and he changed a gambling, thieving, drinking wretch into a peace-loving man of God. For I am that man." There was a salvation that the Lord worked. There was a transformation that the Lord wrought. But finally, I want us to notice the invitation that the Lord extends. Let's go down to the verse 8 we read. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is that man that trusteth in Him." Some years ago, a certain Mr. Clean was discouraged. He was defeated and convinced that life just wasn't worth living any longer because no one cared or loved him. But as he walked past a church one Sunday evening, he heard the strain of a familiar hymn, "Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me." But Mr. Clean's hearing was not so good. When the congregation came to that line, "Jesus died for all mankind," he thought that they were singing, "Jesus died for old man Klein." And he thought, that's me. Jesus died for me. That night he turned and he went into the church. There he heard the invitation of the gospel. And that night old man Klein was saved. He heard the invitation of the gospel and he came to Christ. And here in this psalm, in verse 8, we have the invitation of the gospel. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I wonder, as we close the message, will you taste tonight and see for yourself just how good the Lord is? Will you not repent of your sin and by faith trust and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, taste and see for yourself the Lord. He's good. Let's just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the testimony of David and for the invitation of the gospel. And O God, we pray that those who hear, that the Spirit of God would work and deal in their hearts. And if there's those that are not saved or those that are backslidden, we pray, our God and our Father in heaven, for Thy great name's sake and for Thy glory, Lord, save the sinner. And restore the backslider. And oh God, encourage the believer. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.